Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Mike Murat, and this is our second study in the book of Job. We come today to Job chapter 3, verse 1. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 3, verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job is the first to break the seven-day silence, and he breaks it by cursing his birthday. And he goes on and on. Look at verse 2. And Job spoke and said, "May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived." He wishes he could wipe the night out on which he was conceived. Then he never would have come to be. 4. "May that day be darkness, may God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it." Erase my birthday from time, is what he is saying. 5. "May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it." In other words, swallow my birthday. Verse 6. "As for that night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Delete the night that I was conceived." Just delete it so that it does not come into being. Verse 7. "Oh, may that night be barren. May no joyful shout come into it." He wants the night that he came into being to become a nothing. That is, he wants that night to be non-existing. 8. "May those curse it who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan." In other words, let Leviathan, a big ugly monster, devour that day. Verse 9. "May the stars of its morning be dark. May it look for light, but have none, and not see the dawning of the day." In other words, may daylight never dawn on the day that I was conceived. May it never have been. 10. "Because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes." I don't want that day to be, because on it I entered this world of trouble, says Job. Verse 11. "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" He wishes he would have been stillborn. 12. "Why did the knees receive me? Or why did the breast that I should nurse?" In other words, why did I have to have a mother? Verse 13. "For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest." If I'd never been born, Job says, then I wouldn't be feeling any pain. 14. "With kings and counselors of the earth, who built ruins for themselves." And Job is saying, I'd be as well off as a king if I had never been born. 15. "Or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. I'd be feeling like a prince who has it made if I had not been born." 16. "Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light?" He wishes he would have been born dead and buried right away. Verse 17. "There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest." No one can hurt you. Nothing can hurt you when you are in the grave. In the grave, says Job, that's where I want to be. Verse 18. "There the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor." Job says even prisoners rest well in the grave. Guards can't disturb them. Job wants to be anywhere where he can't be disturbed, because he's so tired of it. 19. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Everyone is equal in the grave. No one's body has it any better or any worse than anyone else's when you're in the grave. Verse 20. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul? And many people have asked this question. Why does God allow suffering? Why does he allow suffering people to keep living? 21. Who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures. Why do those who can't imagine that anything could ever get any better than death, why do those people have to keep on living? That's Job's question. 22. Who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. In other words, why does God make someone who looks upon the moment of death as the best day of their life, why does he make someone like that keep on living? 23. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom the Lord and whom God has hedged in? In other words, my life doesn't make sense. So why does God make me stay alive? Verse 24. For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groanings pour out like water. I don't eat, I groan, says Job. I sit at the dinner table, and I finally just get up and walk away full of pain and sorrow. No appetite. Feeling too rotten to eat. Verse 25. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. The worst thing Job could ever imagine has happened. He has lost his family, he has lost his health, and he has lost his possessions. 26. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Job is never comfortable. He is never without pain. His life is really like a hell on earth. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking?" In other words, he says, would you mind if I said something, Job? I really need to say something here. 3. Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Job, you've spoken up many times. You have tried to encourage people who had given up. Verse 4. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. Job had been an encourager. Now he needs some encouragement. 5. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. Job was a good guy who helped the hurting. Now he is hurting, and it's about to destroy him. 6. Is not your reverence your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? He says, you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, Job. That should give you hope for the future. And it should. Faith in God should keep a person from wishing he had never been born, like Job wished. Verse 7. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright ever cut off? Question, do innocent people ever end up with a miserable life? That's the question to Job. Verse 8. Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Well, that's true. But he fails to understand that good people sometimes suffer as well. And that's what's happening with Job. Verse 9. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed. And it is true that one good blast from an angry God makes life very miserable for no good sinners. That's true. Verse 10. the roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. God can quickly turn a boastful, impenitent sinner into the equivalent of a toothless lion. In other words, a lot of prideful noise, but can't back it up. Verse 11. The old lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. If a lion doesn't have any teeth, the young ones don't have any food, so they have to wander off looking for it themselves. And that's all very true. The problem is it doesn't have anything in the world to do with Job. 12. Now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it. And now he turns up the pious talk, does Eliphaz. He's saying that he had a special revelation. Verse 13. In disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men. Yeah, I got a message from the Almighty in a dream, he says. Verse 14. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones shake. He says, my dream nearly scared me to death. 15. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. He even saw some kind of spirit glide across his bedroom. You know, this preliminary talk is an attempt to give him credibility. It's also a bunch of hogwash. Verse 16. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, stop there for a second. He says the spirit was kind of blurry. Oh, this is really dramatic, isn't it? But then he heard a voice saying, 17, can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his Maker? Here is his message. People cannot be more righteous than their Creator. Well, isn't that something? That's not exactly new news, is it? Verse 18. If he puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error. Angels aren't perfect, I said this last time. Good angels do not sin, but they sometimes have a rough time completing their mission. They are not perfect. Verse 19. How much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth. If angels sometimes make mistakes, how much more do we who live in these bodies made of dirt mess up? 20. They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding. Our bodies are weak vessels for our souls to function in. They are here today, gone tomorrow. No wonder people mess up. That's what he's saying. 21. Does not their own excellence go away? They die even without wisdom. People die, and really by God's standards of measuring, we're not much wiser than what we were when we were first born. Let's get into chapter 5 just a little bit. Verse 1. Call out now. Is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? He's saying, well, Job, why don't you try calling an angel for help? If you think it would do you any good. Verse 2. For wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. A bad temper will hurt a person sooner or later, says Eliphaz. True, but again I ask the question, what does that have to do with Job? 3. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place. Oh, do you get what this guy is saying? Job, you are a fool. That's why things have taken such a turn for worse with your life. Verse 4. His sons are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate, and there is no deliverer. Well, I'll tell you what, this was a real cheap shot. Remember, Job lost his children. Eliphaz is suggesting that Job is responsible for the death of his children. That's cruel, and it is untrue. We'll stop right there. We'll pick up our study in verse 5 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.